It's 4:06. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert will be back with me tomorrow. Coming up later, we'll look at the 9/11 Commission report released today on terrorism and national security and what the recommendations are going forward. But first, a national debate about the overuse of solitary confinement in state and federal prisons is just beginning to play out here in Wisconsin. A new report from the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism raises questions about the effectiveness of keeping inmates in isolation for long periods of time. Gilman Halstead reports.
The report documents 6 cases in Wisconsin where guards pepper-sprayed or tasered inmates in segregation cells after they cut themselves with pieces of sharp metal or tried to attempt suicide by overdosing on medication or hanging themselves. But the report also quotes a letter from Waupun Prison Warden William Pollard saying changes have been made in segregation rules to ensure the health and well-being of inmates, including regular visits from medical staff. Former DOC Secretary Rick Ramish now heads the Colorado prison system, where he's making changes in the use of segregation to discipline inmates.
What I had done here was not only reviewing those that were in segregation, but examining why people were put there to begin with and was it really needed. And, of course, a portion of that was removing the mentally ill from administrative segregation.
Ramish decided that in some cases, segregation was making inmates' mental illnesses worse.
In a sense, we were holding people responsible for things that they didn't even really realize what they were doing because of their mental illness, and they were ending up in administrative segregation for very lengthy periods of time, and we put a stop to that practice.
Another former Wisconsin prison director, Walter Dickey, says any changes to the current use of segregation should include incentives for good behavior.
You ought to be in a sort of constant state of letting people earn their way out, and that you ought to be following the sort of philosophy that prison is as punishment, not for punishment, meaning we're not trying to make people suffer while they're there. We're restraining their autonomy and their freedom, and that's what prison is about.
That's a philosophy that the current state prison director, Ed Wall, shares. At a recent meeting of the Criminal Justice Coordinating Council, he reassured members of a prison reform group that he's committed to making changes in the use of segregation.
We have some extremely violent people, but if you look outside of the United States to countries like Sweden and others that are where segregation is actually a very focused mental health and programming facility, that's really where I think that we need to head.
But the guards who work in segregation units aren't sure about the proposed changes to the system. Brian Cunningham heads the statewide Correctional Officers Union. He says the reforms are based on advice from people who have never worked as guards and don't understand why officers sometimes have to use force.
All these national experts, put the shirt on, come on down, get your hands dirty, get in a seg, have an inmate swing on you, and try to sit back and tell me, the outside observer, what you think.
Cunningham says it doesn't make sense to try to reform the prison system by only focusing on segregation and ignoring what's going on outside the prison.
Nationally, we want to cut every social program we have on the street. Are we going to make sure that these inmates have the things that they need on the street so that they don't come to prison in the first place? If we're only going to have this conversation about this little slice in the SAG building, it's a waste of time.
Members of a growing prison reform movement in the state are demanding more funds for social programs that keep people out of prison, but they say they'll keep pushing for reform of segregation inside the prison as well. Gilman Halstead, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Joining us now to offer a closer look at how and why solitary confinement or segregation has been used in the state prison system, we have Walter Dickey with us. He's a law professor at the UW-Madison, and he's former secretary of the Department of Corrections. Walter, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So under the current system, under what circumstances would an inmate be put in segregation?
Well, there are a lot of circumstances that can lead to an inmate being in segregation. One is that they're there voluntarily, usually because they fear for their own safety, although there are some inmates who simply don't want to be part of the general population. I'd say, though, the dominant reason for people being in segregation is for infractions of prison rules that lead them to be sent to segregation, either adjustment segregation, which is a short period, or what's called program segregation, which charges, often for a much longer period. And then finally, there's a group in what's called administrative segregation. That's because they're believed to be dangerous to themselves or to others. They've usually had a lot of fairly violent episodes, and they're there because it's thought that they cannot safely be released into the general population.
Well, what is the impact of segregation on a criminal when they spend, especially not just those short periods of time, if they're there for a longer period of time?
Well, segregation is very difficult. I think a lot of people think it's a sort of bare cell with nothing in it. The dominant segregation in Wisconsin is what's called program segregation, where the inmates have all their belongings, all their books and the like, and even have access to television, electronics, and stuff like that. But it is obviously a situation in which they do not have a lot of contact with others. They will have contact with staff. They'll have rec every day for an hour or so. But by and large, it's very strictly limits contact with other prisoners.
Is it important to the safety of guards and maybe other inmates to have segregation as an option?
I think so. I think it's really not a question of whether to have it. I think it's really a question of how much it's used. I have little doubt, given my experience, that there are inmates who for periods of time cannot be in the general population. They've got to be in some more isolated and controlled environment because they behaved in ways that have led them to just be dangerous to others, to have acted out sort of repeatedly. Now, you know, that said, one question is what should the duration of that be? And obviously another question is, well, how many people actually need to be there? I think we're in a situation, not just in Wisconsin, but nationally, where mental illness is another dominant reason that people are there. When I said administrative segregation, dangerous to themselves or others, that's often associated with mental illness. And because of, in fact, mental institutions are sort of inaccessible to prison authorities, what you wind up doing, usually for the safety of the individual inmates themselves as well as the safety of others, is isolating people in segregation, which is far from ideal and runs a great risk of exacerbating their condition.
Let's turn to the guard side of this now. Yesterday we talked to Bill Leaders, who did that Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism report, talking about allegations made against the staff at the Waupun Correctional Institutions. The instances of abuse he wrote about took place in the prison segregation unit. Does that surprise you that we'd be hearing these stories, allegations of abuse in the segregation unit?
It doesn't surprise me that you'll be hearing stories about it. Again, I would not sort of rush to equate accusation with truth. You always have to get the facts, and that requires a sort of legitimate investigation. But leaving aside the sort of question of misbehavior by correctional officers or the like, realize these are extraordinarily difficult places to be and to work. They're loud, they're smelly, they're dangerous. You have inmates and guards getting at each other verbally, baiting going on inmate to inmate, inmate to correctional officer. And so I think I always thought it would test the best of us to be put in that kind of circumstance for any period of time and not be either instinctively or strongly tempted to react and to react physically. Now, again, I say that not knowing anything about the allegations, so I don't want to cast aspersions on either the inmates or the correctional officers, but just to sort of note the difficulty of the situation. It cannot bring out the best in anybody.
And because of those conditions, back when you were Department of Corrections Secretary, you wanted to change how guards are assigned to segregation units. What were you suggesting changed? Why didn't it happen?
I wanted a couple things to happen. One is I wanted to rotate people through SEG, that is staff members, because I thought having them work there for any period of time really led them to be jaded and led them to perhaps act in ways that are unprofessional, even physically irresponsible. The second thing that I wanted was I did not want our rookies, I did not want our new correctional officers to start their work life in segregation, because in my opinion, there's no more difficult place to work. The barrier was the seniority system. The seniority system allowed the most senior officers to choose where they worked in an individual prison. And we had this sort of odd, ironic situation. You had a group of officers at that time, now 25 or so years ago, who chose to be there and who wouldn't leave. It was a macho kind of thing, I thought. Though, in fairness to them, they felt a sense of duty about it and a sense of responsibility to other officers. But it just seemed to me sort of over the top in terms of how long they were there. But then you'd have slots that were empty that nobody wanted and tended to go to the most junior people. Those were the rookies, people coming into the system. So you had this odd and, I thought, unhealthy situation in which you had somewhat jaded people who had been there for too long, and you had rookies. And the rookies were learning the wrong kinds of things, it seemed to me, starting out in segregation. That's not the place you want them to learn to interact with either other staff members or with inmates.
In an April memo, current Department of Corrections Secretary Ed Wall expressed concern about whether we're using segregation improperly, using it for punitive reasons only. Other states are rethinking their use of it. Do you expect changes here in Wisconsin when it comes to segregation, solitary confinement?
Yeah, I think there are a couple things that one always wants to be looking at. One of them, I just go back to the mentally ill inmates to start. This is obviously a very unhealthy place for mentally ill people, because I think the likelihood that it worsens their condition is great. And secondly, you've obviously got the question of whether or not being there contributes to mental imbalance and to acting out and to psychosis. And so focusing in on the mentally ill and trying to find alternatives, not an easy thing to do, would be one place where I would start, although I'm not naive. It's not like the corrections people haven't been thinking about this. I think the problem for them probably is, what can we do with this difficult to manage population? There are only so many prisons and so many places they can go, and we don't have access to very much by way of where we can manage and hold them. Secondly, this question of who goes there and for what durations. I think the way it's usually worked in the prison system is people have been sent for relatively long durations, a year, long time, mm-hmm. but with the opportunity to get out, and they could sort of behave their way out. I don't know that anyone has really paid enough attention to figuring out better ways to help them behave their way out.
Gotcha. Walter, we have to leave it there for now. Thank
sure.
you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Yep.
That's Walter Dickey. He's professor of law at UW-Madison, former secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Corrections.